Acts chapter number 5. So we'll be at the entire message today, Acts chapter number 5. I'm going to read one verse to you while you're turning there. It says in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 2. Starting verse number 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. And the pastor preached that to me on my ordination day. That very passage there, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with long-suffering, do it whether they like it or not. Do it, because that's, preach the word, not preach your opinion, preach the word. That's what I'm going to be doing this morning. May say some things that are convicting. May say some things that you might want, our flesh might not want to hear. But that's my job. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's what I'm going to be doing this morning. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, preach the word. I'm not preaching my opinion. I'll give you scripture for everything I say. I promise you I will. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. The Lord told me to preach it, so that's what I'm going to preach. I'm not here to. And later on, that same verse talks about teachers or the congregation raises up teachers that have itching ears, tickling ears. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm not here to pat you on the back all the time. Sometimes that's what I'm supposed to do according to Scripture. But I'm going to preach the Scripture this morning. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 says there in verse number 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. The Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave it to the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. The young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. That's a pretty scary passage, people dropping dead in the church, people at church burying them outside of the church. But it's here in the Scripture for us to learn something from it. I'm not talking about anybody being buried this morning. No, not going that far. But that's what the Lord gave me to preach this morning. Brother Dale, would you pray for us before I get started? I believe if we would admit it, we're a lot more like this couple here, Ananias and Sapphira, than we care to admit. I believe if God would judge us the same way He judged them in this passage, that a lot of us, myself included, at some point, would probably drop dead in the house of God ourselves, probably to be carried out as well. If you admit that, we've all been at that point at some point, in that situation at some point. We've all acted more spiritual than we are. We've all put on a show, acted like we're something that we're not. We all do that at some point. If you admit it or not, that's up to you. But we all have been in a situation. If God judged them the same way He judged us, if we're in the same dispensation as they were, we'd probably be in the same situation today. I'm not talking about selling our land and bringing money to the church. I'm not talking about bringing large sums of money. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about selling out, giving God everything you have, being real, not lying about who you are, not trying to act spiritual at church, but living the worldly rest of the time. Giving God, you're all selling out to God. That's what I'm preaching on this morning, selling out to God. Give Him everything we have. A lot of times we give God part. We give God part of, Lord, you can have this part of my life, but the rest of that's mine. You keep your hands out of it. That's what we tell the Lord a lot of times. I preached a message a couple weeks ago on lines in your den, talking about Daniel, and how if you sell out to God, things will happen. The Lord will bless you. But you also go through some trials. This is the other part of that. Selling out to God, giving God everything you have. There's got to be a point in your life at some point. You've got to tell God, Lord, you can have it. Lord, every part of my life, you can have it. This part of my life that I'm trying to hold on to my own for myself, Lord, you can have it. Everything I got, Lord, is yours, and you can use it however you see fit. There's got to come a point in your life at some time that you give up and let God have your life. He can use it. Lord can't use you unless you let Him have you. It's got to be a point you let Him do that. this isn't a fluffy, make you feel good. I think it says before, rainbow and unicorns kind of message. It's not going to be that way. But this is what I got to preach. And this is right where I needed to think. So the Lord's going to preach a little while, and are you sold out to God? First, you really need to understand what's happening in this passage here. To understand what's going on, we go back to chapter 4 and see what's happened before. This is the first church there after Jesus' ascension. The Holy Spirit's presence is in the church now. The Holy Spirit, Christ is descended. The Holy Spirit is ascended. Holy Spirit is descended into the church. Chapter 4, the members of the church are bringing in offerings. They're helping to supply the needs of others that didn't have to give. Those that don't have are selling what they do have and bringing that into the church. They're giving everything they can. They've dedicated their entire life, giving everything they can to the church, to the work of God. Not to the pastor, not to help the pastor, not to just look spiritual, but doing it to the work, to help the work of God, help the work of God spread forth, help the gospel spread forth throughout their land there. That's what they're doing. Doing everything they can. Barnabas, he goes and sells a piece of land that he has. He brings the entire chunk of money to the church, and that's where I want to jump in. We see the praise of Barnabas. A lot of times we don't look at that. Barnabas started this out. This wasn't Ananias and Sapphira's idea. Barnabas started back in chapter number 4. It says in verse number 36 of chapter number 4, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is Barnabas. No doubt, he is praised for his actions. People pat him on the back. Everyone's bringing things in. Then Barnabas, he brings this big chunk in to help out church, help the people of church, help the poor in the church. It's a big deal. Everybody knew about it. God thought so much about it that he recorded it down in Acts chapter number 4 so we could all read about it. God thought it was a big deal. The church thought it was a big deal. Everybody knew about it. Well, Ananias and Sapphira in the church, no doubt, they knew about it too. They're not hidden from this. They saw what Barnabas did. They saw the praise he got. They saw the pat on the back he probably received from them there at the church. And they wanted part of it too. The beginning of this sin, without a doubt, the beginning of their sin was pride. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction. It definitely went before their destruction. This is Pride Month, if you want to call it Sodomite Pride Month. Pride goeth before destruction. Scripture tells us that. Your destruction has come as well. I believe a lot of times we look at great men of God, maybe Charles Spurgeon or D.L. Moody or more recently Samuel Allen, great men of great stature, men that did a lot of good things for God, men that were well known throughout the world for preaching, doing things for God. Charles Spurgeon, probably the most well-known Baptist preacher ever lived. He's well-known. We look at men like that. We look at people that have done great things like that. And without a doubt, our human nature is we want the praise they received. You might not admit it, but it's human nature to want praise. It's human nature to want a pat on the back. It's human nature to want the attention. That's the way we are. Someone asked Sammy Allen, I mentioned him a minute ago. Sammy Allen, if you don't know who he is, he's a preacher back in the South. Everybody knows him down there. Well, very well known. Somebody asked him one time what the secret was to being close to God. He said, you spend more time with God, doing things with God, than you spend with anything else or anybody else. I don't know about you, but I haven't reached that myself. I strive towards that, but I promise you I have not reached that. I have not arrived. I've got a lot of learning to do myself. We try to act humble, but it's human nature to want the glory. It's human nature to want the praise. It's human nature to want the pats on the back. The reason these men are in the position they're in, the reason these men are so well known, the reason everybody knows who they are, the reason they have this fame, if you want to call it that, amongst the churches, is because they gave everything they had to God. They gave every part of their life to God. They sold out everything they had to the work of God. Did everything they could to further the gospel. Every part of their life was to the furtherance of the gospel. I looked before at Charles Spurgeon's itinerary schedule, his weekly schedule, and there's no way I could live up to that. It's insane. I wish I had it with me this morning. I don't have it. It's insane the amount of things he would do every week to the furtherance of the gospel. Ananias and Sapphira, no doubt, wanted the glory, but they failed to commit the sacrifice. A lot of times we want the glory. We want to see our name up in light. We want the blessings, but we don't want to sacrifice. We do the same thing they did. They wanted the praise. We see number two, they had a possession. It says in chapter number 5, back again, verse number 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession. What is that possession there? We don't know exactly what it is. That possession, the word means an estate or land or a house or a farm. We don't know exactly what it was, but no doubt it was something of importance, something of great worth. It was something worth some money. They sold it in order to give the money to the church. They also want to keep back part of the money for themselves. Is that a problem? That is not a problem whatsoever. No problem in that. Their possession, though, put them in position to make a choice. They could either give it to God or they could be greedy about it and try to make a profit. You might say, well, I've had this amount of money, I give so much of it to the church. Or I've heard some say it before, if I won the lottery, then I'd tithe. No, you wouldn't. If you can't tithe on a dollar, you can't tithe on $1,000. A lot of times these possessions can put you in a position to make a poor choice. That's what it did here for Ananias and Sapphira. God gives to the ones He can give through. I firmly believe you cannot get, if God cannot give through you, if He cannot give to you, God cannot give to you if He cannot give through you. I heard a preacher use the illustration before of a water pipe in the house. How when it's new, everything that goes into the pipe comes back out of the house. A brand new pipe, everything goes in, comes right back out. The more that goes in, the more comes out. But if you look at that water, there's a lot of minerals in water, especially different places, especially where I grew up. There's a lot of mineral deposits in the water. I worked on some plumbing in my parents' house before. You cut a pipe open, there's a whole lot inside that pipe that didn't make it back out. A lot of times, Lord, is that way. Whatever Lord gives us, we give it right back out. Whatever Lord blesses with, we bless others with. The more He gives us, the more we give out. Over time, stuff will start to build up inside that pipe. Over time, stuff will start to build up in your life. You may look at others and wonder how the Lord's blessed them so much, how everything's taken care of, how the Lord has blessed them so much, yet you're struggling all the time. I've seen a lot of people before that don't tithe. Like Brother Fred was mentioning, he's bearing down on that this morning. Some that don't tithe. And they struggle day to day just trying to make ends meet. Yet others who seemingly have a lot less income than them are perfectly capable, perfectly taken care of, have everything they need. The more you give to God, the more He'll bless you. The more water comes in the pipe, the more comes out, the more builds up inside. Lord, will bless the ones that will give. Lord, will bless you if you're willing to give. God will not give to the person He cannot give through. Some people say, well, I give to the church, I give to missions, but I had to do this, I had to do that. I just couldn't afford my tithe this week. It ought to come off the top. I'm not going to say too much about that. Brother Fred mentioned it himself, and I'm glad he did. It was a good timing. The Lord will bless you for giving. We see their, number three, we see their price. Verse number two. And he kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Notice the price. Was it wrong, like I said before, was it wrong for Ananias to sell his land and only give part of the money to the church? Of course, that is not. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing whatsoever. Would it have been wrong if Ananias kept his land and didn't sell it in the first place? Of course not. Well, God never told Ananias to go sell his land. God never told him to bring every bit of the money to the church. That is no problem whatsoever. I'm not telling you to do that this morning. God didn't tell Ananias to do that. He says right here in this verse, while it remained, before you sold it, it was yours. After you sold it, it was still yours. Why then have you lied about the price of it and brought in only part of it? Why would you lie to the Holy Spirit? Ananias decided he wanted to keep back part of his offering, but he wanted the praise that Barnabas received. He wasn't willing to sacrifice. I believe we do the same thing nowadays. I believe churches are filled with people who want praise for serving God, yet they're not willing to make the sacrifice. Living God, come to church on Sundays just to make yourself feel better, but not living for God the rest of the week. I can tell you right now, the Lord's not going to bless that. The Lord can't use a family that's not willing to serve. Don't expect God to bless you for acting like a Christian on Sundays, but the world rests on Monday through Saturday. The Lord's not going to bless you for that. You can't wake up Sunday morning and automatically become a Christian and cut it back off on Monday. It's not going to work that way. Everybody loves seeing missionaries come into church, but they aren't willing to go to the mission field themselves. This Bible is written in its entirety for everyone here, for everyone on the earth. It's not just for a select few people. It's for everybody. You know why we have wickedness all around us and Satan taking over a big part of it? I believe that the churches are filled with people. They want the praise. They aren't willing to make the sacrifice. We're filled with a bunch of hypocrites a lot of times. If you admit it, I admit it. I promise you, at some point I've been a hypocrite myself, acting the spiritual when I wasn't. A lot of people want God only for the benefits. I worked a few jobs in my lifetime. When I was younger, I worked a part-time job. And I found if I worked part-time, I could not expect them to supply me with benefits. People want God's benefits but aren't willing to work full-time. They want the benefits for a part-time job. It doesn't work that way. If you want the benefits, God expects you to live for Him, work for Him, be full-time in His work. Quit lying to the Holy Ghost. Like they lied, their Ananias and Sapphira's sin, their trouble, was the fact they lied to the Holy Ghost. Quit lying to the Holy Ghost about how spiritual you are. He's not going to bless you for it. God will not honor or bless a liar. Either you mean it with God or you don't. I'm tired of seeing young people act spiritual at church. I'm not saying here. It's everywhere. Spiritual church on living for God on Sundays and Mondays. You see them all doing their own sinning, doing their own thing. And you make up our mind either we're in this thing with God or we're not. Elijah the prophet, he said, how long halt you between two opinions? Either you're living for God, either Jesus is your God, or this world is your God. There's no riding the fence. You can't stand on the fence. You're going to fall off on one side or the other. You cannot ride the fence. Either you're living for God or you're not. Quit acting like you are if you're not. Holy Spirit's not going to bless it. I say this very carefully. Your kids are watching you, parents. My kids are watching me as a parent, and that scares me to death. What you allow them to do, what you allow them to skip church to be part of, or what you're affecting your children. When I was young, I thank God for my parents. When I was young, there's no question where we'd be on Sunday morning. There's no question where we'd be on Sunday night. There's no question where we'd be on Wednesday night. If there was a revival at church, there's no question where we're going to be, where we're going to be at church. And I thank God for parents that brought me up that way. If there was a game or a party or a family reunion going on during church time, we skipped the game or the party or the family reunion. We came to church. And I thank God for the parents that instilled that in my heart. God ought to have the preeminence in your life. If you're living for God or you're not. If you allow your family to skip church for anything and everything, don't be surprised when your kids find more excuses to skip church. I passed you this illustration before. We put our lives right here in the middle. And this border out here, that's our outline of the things we allow to go on. Your children are going to build on your outline. And then their circle is going to go out here. Be careful what you allow them to do. It's just going to get worse. If you allow them to skip when they're young, don't be surprised if they skip when they're old. God doesn't expect much out of us. He doesn't expect a whole lot out of us other than faithfulness. Faithfulness, just doing what He said, doing what He told us to do. And He said in Hebrews, fail not to assemble yourselves together. Be in it with God. Be in the church with God. Be part of God's work. I saw something the other day that I thought was pretty profound. It says, when you'll run yourself ragged to make your child involved in every school, sporting, or social event, but think it's no big deal for them to miss church, that's a real big deal. They lied about the price of land they had. And Aspire lied about the price they had. A lot of times we'll lie about the price we're paying for God. We act spiritual, but in reality we are doing this thing part-time. I don't know how to say this. I promise you I have not arrived. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back this morning. I'm not. I promise you it scares me to death to know that my children are watching every move I make. And every mistake I make, they're probably going to make a worse mistake. So I better be careful those mistakes I make. You better be careful what I show them was important to me. If you teach your kids church is important, you bring them to church, they're going to know that's important. I've heard a lot of people before, the kids grow up, they get out of church, they come to the preacher and know, what happened? The whole time they grew up, you're acting like it wasn't important. Now you expect them to act like it's important. Be careful the price. Be careful lying about the price you're paying for God. It's going to come with consequences. Came with consequences for him. We see the punishment. It's in verse number 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it's about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered to her, tell me whether you sold land for so much. She said, yea, for so much. Peter said to her, how is it you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. The young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. So what happened? I already said it before. God killed Ananias and Sapphira. He took them out. You can't lie about God, about the things of God, and expect to get away with it. Am I saying God's going to kill people in church nowadays? I'm not saying that. I hope He doesn't, because I don't want to be there for that. He could if He wanted to. He is God. He's supreme. He's God. He can do what He wants to. But my point is, God is not going to bless you. God's not going to allow you to prosper. God's not going to bless your family and bless your home if you're lying about what's going on, man. I'm saying God takes this thing very seriously. God wants our all. He wants our all in public. He wants us to give up or give our lives to Him. And I realize I said before about mission field. Not everybody can go to the mission field. Somebody has to stay at the church. Somebody has to be the church. But it doesn't mean you can't go to the mission field. It doesn't mean you can't be used to God. I used to use the excuse when God was calling me to preach. I said, Lord, I don't want to be a preacher. Do anything else. I'll be faithful to church. I'll be a deacon. Do everything I can. And then the Lord called me to preach. I couldn't get away. Tried that for months. Couldn't get away from it. I became a preacher. Said, Lord, I'll do anything. I don't want to be a pastor. That's just not me. I don't like being the center of everything. Here I am. Give your life to God. Allow Him to use you. We don't have this thing. We don't have it all under control like we think we do. We don't know everything that's going on like we think we do. What are you holding back and not letting God have? Maybe you're giving your time, but maybe you never do. Maybe you're not giving your time. Maybe you never stop and pray. Maybe you open your Cracker Bible up on Sunday morning, close it back and open it again next Sunday morning. What are you keeping from God? What are you holding back? What part of your life have you not given Him? Maybe it's the ungodly music you're listening to. Maybe it's the girlfriend or boyfriend you know you're not supposed to, be with. Things you're hiding from everybody. Things you're keeping from God. I don't know what the sin is. It's not my job to know what the sin is. It's my job to tell you what the Bible says about it. If you can't wear it, sing it, say it, drink it, or smoke it in the house of God, you ought not be doing it outside the house of God. When we say we tell God we can have us, we tell God He can have our all, we are giving up and asking Him to forgive our sins. Lord, I'm sorry what I've done. Lord, You come in my heart, save me. We do that. We give God our life. And then we start taking things back from Him. Lord, You can't have that part. That's mine. Lord, You can't have that part. That's mine. We do that all the time. Ananias and Sapphira gave their all in public to God. Yet when they were back home, they decided to keep part of it back for themselves. God wants us to sell out to Him. The definition of being sold out is having sold the entire stock of something. Very simple. Meaning a store is not sold out of stuff, they still have some back in the warehouse. If you still have back in the warehouse, you're not sold out, you still have some. God wants everything that you have out in public. He also wants everything you have stored back in the back that everybody else don't know about. God wants our lives. God wants our all. God wants you to be a Christian. God wants you to live holy when you're at home alone. At nighttime, He wants you holy there. He wants you holy at grocery store. He wants you holy at church. God wants our lives. You might say, well, that's a lot to give away. This is my life. I'll be able to live it the way I want to live it. That's a lot to give away. You're not giving anything away. Jesus has already paid the price. He's already bought it. If you take it back, you're stealing from Him. It's not ours to keep. It's not ours to give away. It's already been bought with a price. Scripture tells us that Jesus paid the price, the ultimate price for our lives. We take it back from Him. We're doing nothing but stealing it from Him. Are you sold out to God? If you're saved this morning, the Lord's paid the price for your life. He's paid the price. Have you given it to Him? When a house is being sold, they put the for sale sign out in the yard. And if somebody decides who wants to buy it, they put the under contract sign, and it's fine. So they put the big sold sign out there. So everybody knows what's going on. Why do they do that? To draw attention to it. Let everybody know this for sale. Draw attention to the land. Why do they put the sold sign out? So you know it's gone. So you know next time you want to sell a house, go to that realtor. You want Satan to leave you alone and quit inquiring on your property? Get the for sale sign out of the front yard. Quit advertising this for sale. Quit living wickedly half the time. If you're tired of Satan tempting you all the time, tired of Satan trying to get you in trouble all the time, get the for sale sign. Sell out to God. Give God every part of your life. If your life is filled up with Him, there's no room for anything else. If a water glass is full of water, right here, there's a lot of room for air. If it was full of water, there wouldn't be no room for air. If our life is full of God, there's no room for anything else. Tired of Satan inquiring your property, tired of Satan tempting you, fill up with God, get everything else out of the way, and He won't have anything to trouble you with. Young people, give it to God, sell up to God. I'm tired of young people I grew up with, went to camp with, turning their back on God, living wickedly again. I'm tired of seeing young people run to the world. It's not worth it. Give it all to God while you're young. Let God use you while you're young. There's a lot of older missionaries nowadays dying off. That's human nature. Eventually you're going to die. You're going to die. Unless the Lord comes back before you do. We need somebody to take up the slack and some young people to give their life to Him. We're trying to sow your wild oats when you're young. I heard a preacher say before, a lot of people have sowed their wild oats and they're praying for crop failure. Live for God while you're young. Let God use you while you're young. People, let God use you now. Don't get involved in sin. Once you're in it, you can't forget it. You can't erase that from your mind. God can forgive you, but He's not going to erase any scars. Once you take part, you cannot forget it. If you haven't taken part, don't do it. If you have, get out of it. Quit wasting your life away. There's so much work we're supposed to be getting done for Him that we're not. We're wasting our efforts on other things. Acts 5, verse number 6, I read before. And young men arose, wound him up and carried him out and buried him. Verse number 10. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Notice who was affected by their sin. The young men, both of them, carried him out and buried him. Young men of the church did that. Parents, grandparents, our sin, our half-hearted living for God is going to hurt the young people more than anybody else. They're watching you. They're looking for an example. Looking for an example in the home. Looking for an example in the church. I don't know where I would be if my parents didn't instill the importance of being in church today. I don't know where I would be if it weren't for godly parents that brought me up and taught me how to live for God. I thank God for that. Not everybody has that. I know you don't. But I thank God I did. Parents, you have an opportunity now where your children are young. You have an opportunity now. Grandparents, you have an opportunity where your grandchildren are watching you. Live for God now. Let them see it's real. They're looking to see what you're doing. They want to know if it's real or not. Let God have your finances. Let him have your life. Let him have your finances. He can handle a lot better than you can. Let him have your marriage. God and the Bible are the best marriage counselors you could ever have. Let him have your home. Let him have your heart. Let him have your job. Living for God isn't just something you do at church. It'll be something you do every day of your life. It'll be something you do down in the job place. It'll be something you do at home. He'll bless you for it. Sell out to God. He's paid the price for you. If you're saved today, you belong to God. He's in charge. You can take it back from Him. He's going to give you free will to do that. You can take it back. But God has paid the price for you. Quit stealing it from Him. Let God use you. Let God use you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for these people here being willing to listen, Lord. Thank you for helping this morning, Lord. I pray you got my stomach words to help somebody, Lord. I pray you came across the right way, Lord. And Lord, I pray you help the people this morning, Lord. It's my heart to see the Lord help this church and use this church, Lord. Lord, you can't use us if we're not living for you. You can't use us if we're not here. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for these people here. Amen. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. If there's ever been a point in your life, if you ever knelt down and asked the Lord to save you, if the Lord has never bought you with the price, that you never accepted that price from Him, today would be an awfully good day to get saved. If you died right now, if you died before you left this church, do you know where you go? If you don't, please find out before you leave. Don't go home lost. Don't die and go to hell on my account. I'm telling you the truth. I promise you, I'm going to show you from Scripture the truth. Maybe you are saved this morning. Maybe you're not living for Him like you should be. Maybe you're not living for Him like you used to be. I mentioned the other night, over in Revelations, God talks about people being lukewarm, how to spew them out of His mouth. God does not care for half-hearted Christian living. Give up and give it to God. Quit holding your life back from Him. Quit stealing it back from Him. Let Him have it. If there's anybody here, I know we don't have a typical altar here, but you're welcome, more than welcome to come pray if you'd like to. But if there's anybody that would like to talk to me or pray with you later on, I'll be more than happy to do that. Take you to a room privately. I don't want to embarrass you. I never would do that. It's my heart to help you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I pray any lost, Lord, they save us too late, Lord. I pray any lost in service, Lord, I pray you save them. Lord, don't let them go home. Lost, Lord, I pray you convict them, Lord. I pray they won't be able to eat or sleep, Lord, until you save them, Lord. I pray you scare them, Lord, with hell. Lord, I pray you help me to reveal the truth to them, Lord. I pray you help them. Lord, I pray you help our church in Jesus' name.